You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
And if you've got your Bibles, Ecclesiastics 4 verse 9, Ecclesiastics 4 verse 9, hallelujah. And so I'm going to jump straight into this scripture, and then we're going to start to talk about what God wants us to do. The Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, for your presence. We ask you, Father, that you would minister, speak to us. Father, we just pray that you would help us. And Lord, most of all, we just ask, Lord, that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said, amen. And the real church says, amen. And so we're speaking about friendship. And I want to say that I want to preach a sermon, and two are better. Two are better. Look at someone and say, two are better. Show them your fingers. Two are better. That way, don't do it the other way. Amen? And so two are better. I want to preach a sermon on this, because that's how he starts the text. He says, two are better than one. Now, I want to say to you and I today that this contradicts many of the voices in our world today, because many of the voices in our world today celebrate individualism. If you don't know that, let me give you a little bit of understanding. We celebrate the self-made person. If someone's self-made, we're like, yeah, they're self-made. If someone inherited it, we're like, ah, they inherited it. But what we do is we celebrate individualism. We celebrate independence. When someone is independent, they do it by themselves. They don't need anybody. And they celebrate those things. But I want to say this, is that no matter how good you are, no matter how bad you think you are, no matter, when I say bad, I mean bad in a good way, by the way. No matter how hot you think you are, handsome you think you are, brainy you think you are, I want to tell you is that two are better. Two are better. Now you may think, oh no, I got it all together, but the Bible says two are better. And as we look at life and we understand life, I want to tell you that two are better. Meaning, when someone has friends, it's actually better for them. I read a few articles. In 1985, it says most Americans had three confidants. So that means they had three people that they would say are their deep friends. And it defines it. People whom they could share everything with. That was, most people said they had three. It says today, people say they have less than two. Most people today would say they have less than two people that they could share everything with. In 1985, 10% of American people, and it's the same, you know, American English, eventually it gets here. 1985, 10% of Americans said that they had no one to fully confide in. So out of 100 people, there was only 10% would say, you know what, 10% would say, I got nobody that I can confide in, no one I can really tell. Today, those statistics are more like they're 25%. 25% of people, and it's just in a few decades, things have got worse. Have we got that picture you can put up there of the article? This is an article in The Telegraph, and it says, having no friends could be deadly as smoking. Wow, I was amazed to hear this. It says, research at Harvard University have suggested after discovering a link between loneliness and the levels of blood clotting protein which can cause heart attacks and strokes. People that they said having no friends, they go on and they start to explain that lonely people exhibit more social stress compared to people that are not lonely. Individuals who feel lonely also suffer higher virus antibodies, this type of thing, it affects their health. This is very interesting. Lonely women literally feel hungrier. I don't know. That's what it said there. So if you're feeling hungry right now, this sermon's for you. Amen. Praise God. It says feeling, and then it says feeling lonely increases the risk of death by 26% and doubles our risk of dying from heart disease. Doubles the risk. People that feeling lonely. This is not the, obviously I'm quoting from the Bible, two are better, but these are scientists, these are the medics, these are what life is telling you. I want to tell you, many times the scientists could save their time by listening to what the Bible said over 2,000 years ago, where he says two are better than one. That me and you are social creatures. We need friendship. You need it. Look at someone and say, you need this. You know, listen, you might be here today and you're spiritual and you're about the kingdom of God and you're about preaching and you're about all of this stuff. But in the Bible, it speaks about the lost. And if you've been in this church for any amount of time, you know that we're all about reaching out and bringing the gospel to people outside. How many know we're all about that? Amen. Don't leave me up here by myself. I mean, we're all about that. Amen. And so we're about taking the gospel outside these four walls, and we're busy about that. We're doing things. We're always on the march. But I want to say that even that, without friends, it starts to lose its purpose. Now, in the book of Luke, there's two parables that Jesus speaks about. And he speaks about a lost sheep and a lost coin. And so he says, a man has a lost sheep, he leaves the 99, he goes looking for that one sheep. And that's an analogy that God is always searching for the lost one. That so if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm not really a churchgoer, I'm not really that type of person, can I tell you, God has been searching for you. God has been looking for you. That God has actually been, he's had his eye on you, and he says, listen, I've been looking for you like a lost sheep. And listen, we want to welcome you, you're here, you're home, praise God. But he says, when the man goes out and he finds the lost sheep, in the text, I'm going to read it. He says this, and when he has found it, he calls together his friends and neighbors. The same thing is said when the woman finds the lost coin. These are parables about God finding lost things, lost people. And he says, when she has found it, you can read it in Luke 15, she calls her friends and neighbors, and they celebrate. That means even when we're talking about kingdom work, that when we're seeing people get saved and seeing people come to the Lord, he says we should come back and we should celebrate with our friends. That if you do not have any friends, kingdom work actually loses half of its purpose. Kingdom work becomes monotony. Kingdom work is just like this endless droll. Okay, I found it. It says there's something missing. This man finds his sheep, the lost sheep, and he calls his friends and he says, listen, what about you and I? Do we have friends? Do we have friends that we can share our high moments with, our joys with, our victories with? When you're going through things, see, it's all good that we can testify and talk about what God is doing in our lives, but how many know it's good to have friends that you can call and say, hey, you know what? I know you've been praying for me about this, and God's come through for me. And they're like, praise God, they're real friends. They celebrate with you. In our text, he says, woe to him who is alone. Woe. That's a Bible word of saying, you know what, this is bad for you. It's a Bible word. Woe. We don't really use that in the same way. Have you ever seen anybody like hurt themselves, like with a hammer or something, and they hit themselves, and you're like, ooh, that's woe. You're seeing someone, oh, no. You don't want to do that. This is woe. And he says, woe to him who has no friends. If you have no friends in here today, it's bad for you. He gives two reasons why it's bad. The first one in verse 10, he said, if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. I read another article about this program called Take Me Out. I don't know what this program is. Take Me Out. Do you know what this is? Yeah. Some of you are like, I know that, yes. Take Me Out. This is a bit sad. A Take Me Out contestant kills himself after losing his job for taking time off to record the show. And so here is this man. He goes on the show, Take Me Out. It's like Blind Date to me. You know, I'm old school. But he goes on the show, and after he comes off the show, He goes to his job, and the job said, we were trying to get hold of you. And he's like, but I was recording the show. They said, yeah, we had to let you go. And so he wanted the job, and so he goes and commits suicide. Think about this now. How many know that's off balance, man? That's way off balance. Yeah, we understand that you're sad about the job. I want to say to you today is that when you're riding high and you think you've got it, see, one moment he's on the show. This minute, he's on the show. He's like, yeah, I'm on this show. Woo, I'm having a good time. I saw the video. He hooks up with this girl. They go off. I don't know what they do, so don't ask me. But they're on this show. And so, yeah, when things are going well, it feels like, yeah, I got this. You ever felt like that? You ever put something on, you just start, you go, you think, yeah, I got this. You don't want to say it, but you know. Some of you today, when you came to church, you're like, yeah, I got this. You got this. But the reality is, what when you make a mistake? See, how many know if you've got a job and you're going to go on a show, you should tell your job. You should be telling your job. See, when the lights go out and you make the wrong step and you slip and you fall, do you have people that can lift you up? See, that's the issue. Do you have people that can lift you up? When you make a mistake and you fall and you slip, do you have people? In the text, he says, woe to the man who, when he falls, he's alone, because he says, who's going to pick him up? Who's going to lift him up? See, sometimes when you make mistakes and you go through life and things don't go your way, you're going to need somebody to come and help you and lift you up. Look at someone and say, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Yeah, look back at them and say, you're going to need it as well. Telling me, I tell you, you're going to need it. See, this message in Ecclesiastics, God has given us instructions of how he made us. And what it is to imagine yourself on a journey. Imagine a man. Remember, this is Bible time. There's no roads. There's no street lights. There's no pavement. So when people are traveling from town to town, it's like desert and rocks and hills. So if you're going from one town to the next, you're going over a rock and you're going over that. Imagine if you think you're okay and you step on a certain rock and you slip and there's a cave underneath and you drop maybe high and then you hit the floor, you break your arm, you break your leg, and now you're in this cave with a broken arm and a broken leg and there's all blood coming down you. If you're alone, you're just going to stay there. There's nothing you can do. You can't even move. You're going to die. And that's what's happening to these people that we read in these articles. Here is a man, a young man, going through life, and he made a mistake and he slipped. And we're like, come on, get up. Pick yourself up. But the reality is he can't. Because sometimes when you fall, you can't just pick yourself up. If I give you the same analogy, imagine the same guy that slips on the same rock, falls in the same cave, breaks the same arm and breaks the same leg, covered in the same blood, but there's only one thing different. When he was walking, he had somebody with him. And they see him fall down. Hey, are you okay? Yeah, I broke my leg, broke my arm, I'm stuck. I can't get up. Don't worry, I'm going to get something. The circumstances change. Nothing has changed but one thing. He had somebody with him. Can I tell you, you may be saying, Pastor, I'm not going to be walking from town to town over rocks and a cave. You're going through life. Life is a journey. If you've learned that already, life is a journey. You started that journey. Your mom got pregnant with you, 9 months. You came out. I'm sure it wasn't quite like that, but some mothers here are like, yeah, that brother needs to learn. Babies don't come out like that. I wish they came out like that. They don't come out like that. You start, you go through school, you go through college, you go through uni, you go through marriage, you go through life, you go through this, you go through that. It's a journey. And along that journey, there are going to be these rocks, these decisions, these caves, these things that you're going to make. And when you fall, the Bible says, woe to you if you're alone. He asks another question. He says, how can one be warm? He says, again, if two lie down together. I know people love to say this in a wedding. Two lie down together. I say, amen. Once you get married, just lying down together. But actually, the Bible didn't say it in this way. He's talking about people in a journey, and to keep warm in the desert at night, it gets freezing, that they would come close, they would huddle up. And that's what he's talking about here. All of us know, most of us would know the old story, the analogy of a man telling another man about friendship and companionship and not isolating himself. And he gives him the analogy of the coal fire. And he picks out one of the coals out of the fire and he puts it with the tongue and he puts it down. And then he asks the man, which one will cool down first? The one that we pulled out. And that really is an analogy of life, is that when you isolate yourself, you're going to find out that you start to lack warmth. Men and women that isolate themselves, they start to lack warmth. People that isolate themselves, you'll start to see that they're cooling down. Sometimes even in the way they speak, it's like, well, that's very harsh. Yeah, they should. No, hold up. People go through things. Have you noticed that? You can be saying the right thing, but you're very wrong the way you're saying it. Well, they should have paid their bills. They should have paid their bills. But how many know sometimes you just say a bit too harsh? There's no warmth there. And what happens is because when people start to isolate themselves, they start to become frozen. Have you ever met people that they're one time they're in church and they're going, they're loving church, they're in fellowship. And then they slowly start to isolate themselves. And then you listen to the way they talk about the church. Yeah, you know, they do that thing. Because you know what's happening? You're isolating yourself. And when you isolate yourself, you start to lose warmth. I mean, no, Friday was a lot warmer than today. I remember Friday. It's like Friday was like last year now, isn't it? Friday, I was hot, man. I had my jacket, I had something else, and I was hot. You know, I was just moving around. The next day, I woke up. Next day, I put my clothes out for Saturday because we had a meet, and I was like, these will be my clothes. I looked out the window. I was like, no, these are not my clothes. These are different clothes. The clothes I thought, you know, after last week, I thought, pack this stuff away, man. No. Sometimes in life, a cold breeze just comes in, man. Sometimes in life, you're trying, but things just start to go wrong. Sometimes in life, there's a cold breeze that comes in. And you're trying, it could be blowing on your finances right now. It could be blowing on your health right now. It could be blowing in your marriage right now, blowing in your children. Just as it switched from Friday to Saturday, I'm going to tell you, sometimes life can be like that. That it just switches. At one moment, you was wearing a t-shirt, and now you're wrapping up. And I want to say to you, at that moment, you're going to need some good people around you. Otherwise, you're going to start to freeze. Because when life turns on you, do you have companions, godly friendship, good people around you? Otherwise, you're going to be left out in the cold alone, and you're going to start to suffer the symptoms of hypothermia. I was reading about hypothermia where mid-hypothermia, it speaks about when you're shaking and you have mental confusion. I don't know if I've experienced that, but the shaking I have. Then it says moderate hypothermia is when you stop shaking, but now you just the confusion increases. These are people that are really going for it. And they said that severe hypothermia is when people paradoxically undress. What? What it means is if you're suffering from hypothermia and it's not mild, it's not moderate, it's severe, people just start taking their clothes off. You're like, you're freezing to death, but you're taking your clothes off because something is kicked in the mind and now you're behaving irrationally, paradoxically, meaning you're doing the opposite of what you should be doing. Can I tell you, sometimes we can be like this, that when we've got no one around us and life starts to blow on us, the things that we should be doing, we stop doing. Where we should be wrapping ourselves up with friendship, we start distancing ourselves, taking friends off. When we should be praying, we should be in the will of God, we start to say, no, I can't pray anymore. I'm not reading anymore. Not going to church anymore. There are times when, can we be honest today? I know it's church, but could we try to be honest? You know, church, when we, church clothes, church walk, church hairstyle. Church. Could we be honest today? Let's think about this now. Sometimes when prayer gets hard. Now, I know no one here is like this, but you know these sermons go online. So whoever's out there online right now, and I know it's not for you guys. Prayer never gets hard for you guys. Wandsworth is the place to be. But when prayer gets hard,
There's been times when I've gone in my house and straight away me and my wife have gone through the door and we felt it's cold. Ooh, it's chill in the air. And I've gone straight to my boiler cupboard and opened a boiler and the boiler's gone off. Turned itself off. Something wrong with the pressure. It's turned itself off. And I feel it straight away. The atmosphere has changed. The atmosphere has totally changed because the boiler heats everything. And there are times when people's boilers go off. Something inside of them, your fire has gone out. Now prayer seems so hard. Now reading the Bible is so boring. I know it doesn't happen here. You guys, reading the Bible never boring to me, Pastor. Where church feels long. This is long, man. And all of these things, you know what's happened? Your fire has started to go out. Your fire has gone out. And when the boiler goes off, what I have to do, I have to get somebody. If I can't fix it, I have to get someone who knows how to reignite it. See, what he says here is, woe to you, because how are you going to stay warm if there's only one of you? And what you need is some friends in your life that when your boiler goes out, when your fire goes out, that they can come alongside you and reignite those fires. The problem is that many people, they do not have friends that know how to reignite them. See, we're not talking about people that will come and tell you things you already know. See, you could be like, listen, you could find prayer hard right now, and we could talk to you about prayer. And you're like, I know prayer. How many, we know prayer. You could be thinking the Bible is boring right now. You pick it up, you read one verse, you're like, and we could tell you, read your Bible. And you're like, I know reading my Bible. And we could tell you about church, and we could tell you about 100 other things. We're not talking about somebody that needs to come and teach you new things. We're talking about someone that will come and meaning again, ignite the same things. See, that's what friendship is about. People are like, I need to speak to you, Pastor. I need to speak to you, Pastor. No, you already know. Maybe if you had some people around you that could reignite what you already knew, then you wouldn't lose your fire. Because he says, woe to you if you're alone and you fall. Woe to you. He says, how are you going to keep warm? How are you going to keep warm? Let me close with this. Verse 12, he says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If you live long enough in this world, you'll start to come to a place where you realize life is going to get too hard for me at times. See, if you're someone here and you've like, life has never got too hard for me, you just haven't lived long enough. You ain't lived long enough yet, man. You know, maybe you're just sitting at home playing FIFA. You're like, the next level is too hard for me. But if you actually live normal life, you're going to come to a place where life, this thing just feels too hard. This feels too hard for me. And in our text, he says this, though one may be overpowered. What that means is that you're going to come to a place where you feel that life's power is over your power. Where life's power, where the thing you're pushing against, the thing you're trying to move, the thing you're wrestling with, the thing you're trying to get over is too power. Its power is over your power. You're going to feel overpowered. There's another word for it. The word really kind of, I think this helps us more, is to feel overwhelmed. He says, though one may be overwhelmed. How many know we can be overwhelmed by the circumstances of life? That you just feel like overwhelmed. Have you ever said or ever heard someone said, I can't take it anymore? That's someone who's being overwhelmed. I've said it. Have you ever heard someone say this? I don't know if people still say this. They used to say it when I was young. I've had it up to here with you. My mom used to say that. I've had it up to here with you. What they're saying is, I'm being overpowered right now. This is too much for me right now. Life is too difficult for me right now. And he says, though one may be overpowered, he says, if you're by yourself and you have no one around you and you're isolated and you've separated yourself, you will be overpowered by life. You will come to a place where you can't move anymore and you don't know what to do. You know, the word actually means conquered, ruled, controlled. There are many people that have things in their life which are controlling them, and they can't shake it off. There are men here. Maybe there's things you're involved in, and it's controlling you. You know what people do? We call it an addiction. We have all these fancy names for these things, but the reality is the Bible said it straight. It says, you know what? You come to a place in life where life overpowers you. He says one can be overpowered, overwhelmed, ruled, controlled. This thing will get the victory over you. There are people here. There's many different things in your life. There are women here that you're controlled by things. Men here, you're controlled by things. And you know it's wrong, and you do it. And afterwards, you cry your tears. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. I won't do it again. And you struggle on in isolation. Some of these things maybe you're ashamed of. And you struggle along in isolation. But the Bible says as long as you stay isolated, this thing will keep overwhelming you. You'll never get free. This is why the devil is a master at stealing and robbing and killing, because what he does is he's overpowered you, he's wrapped you up in a cycle of sin, and now you feel so ashamed of it. The very thing you need was to have people around you that could help you get out. You feel so ashamed, you stay isolated, you keep it secret, and he keeps on wrapping you up in this thing. I want to tell you, there is hope today. There is hope in Jesus. There is hope in God. You can be liberated. You can be set free. See, God has put this instruction in his word. He says, listen, he says, one can be overwhelmed, but people that have good people around them, they can withstand. They can stand up against it. They won't be overwhelmed. They won't be ruled. They won't be pushed back. Some of you may be saying this right now. I've got friends, but why am I not walking in the victory you're telling me that friendship would give me? Some of you might be sitting here thinking, I've got friends. I've got people. I've got, you know, friends. And how come I'm not seeing this experience that you're reading about? I would say that because maybe many of you have friendships that are twisted. Twisted friendships. When you should have had, or where you should have, friendships that are plaited, not twisted. See, if you're a woman in this place, you know the difference between twisting something and plaiting something. And all the ladies say, amen. See, yeah. There's a difference between twisting something. If you get two things and you just start twisting them together, you know after a while, they're going to untwist. And many times, people's friendships are just twisted. It's just you and them, you and them, you and them, you and them, you and them. The problem is you pull that thing, it unravels. The problem is you shake that thing, it unravels. See, what he says in our text, he says this. He says, a threefold cord. What that is three, not twisted, plaited. When you plait something, you can plait many numbers of things, but you can't plait anything less than three. I'm plaiting two. No, you're twisting. And so what he's saying here is that here we're talking about friendship, and then he says, but a threefold cord. Who is the third? Come on, you're in church. You should know that, man. Jesus. See, this is where it comes into, is that the friendships you're building, first of all, are you friends with Jesus? Here today, do you know Jesus as a friend? Jesus actually says to the disciples, he says, listen, I call you friend. Jesus wants us to be his friend. He wants us to have relationship with him. Jesus wants to bring us to God and have that relationship with him. Have you made things right with God by accepting Jesus? See, you can criticize every other friendship and you can try to make every other friendship become what I've said it can become. But I want to tell you this, without God, those friendships, there's something missing. Because man is man. If me and you have a friendship without God, can I tell you, I'm going to let you down, you're going to let me down. There ain't nobody in this room that's a perfect friend. No, I'm a perfect friend. Come on, you're a perfect liar. You're lying to yourself. Nobody's perfect. At one point, you're going to let me down, I'm going to let you down. But that doesn't mean that I crush and fall. That doesn't mean our friendship fall away. Some people here, you've had friendships with people, and you're like, yeah, they're my friends, but they let me down, and you threw them away. The reality is because it's just you and them. But what you need is to build first a friendship with Jesus. Jesus has to become that third between you and them. See, when you're planting something, and don't come up and Pastor, that ain't, you plant. But I kind of see, you put one over, and then you wrap that one around, and you take the other one, and you're wrapping it around. And what you're doing is, if you imagine one of them is Jesus, Jesus wraps around you, then you wrap around him, then Jesus wraps around them, and then Jesus, and this is how it's going, that Jesus is in the middle and in the midst, and he's all around, and he's going through, and he's keeping you together. And even though you can shake it and pull on it, when you pull on it with Jesus, you know what happens? You just get tighter. Devil, you can pull on me, you can do this, you can say that, but we just get tighter. See, that's the difference when Jesus is involved. Are you friends with Jesus? And if the people you are building friendships, are they with Jesus? Are your friends with Jesus? There could be some people here, you're Christian, you've been coming to church, you've got friendship, but maybe you need to re-look at that friendship. Not throw them away, but have that conversation and say, you know, our friendship doesn't have much Jesus in it. You don't throw it away. We're not saying dash that away, unless they're like, yeah, come on, let's go and, let's go rob a bank, sell some drugs, get some prostitutes, become pimps. No, then you need to be like, no. You just unfriend them, stop following them on Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, block them. So, but I'm saying most friendships are not like that. Most friendships, if you're here in this church, you need to say, you know what? We need to put Jesus in this. I want to tell you today is that Jesus is the best friend. And next week, I'm going to talk about how do you make friends? How do you really make a strong friendship? How do you make friends? But we're going to deal with that next week. This week, I want you to say, you know what? I need good friends. Look at your life and say, you know what? I'm willing to say, let me put Jesus in this. And because I need this, because I want to tell you this. When you fall, if you haven't got good friends, I don't want to read in the newspaper, so-and-so gave up and jumped off something. And I'm like, oh my days, they once came to our church. They once came to our church. We read these articles and we read over them, yeah, okay. But that's somebody's mum, somebody's dad, somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's someone. They're people. I've said before the statistic. I think it is in this country, 12 men a day commit suicide. Suicide is the biggest killer among men, among anything else in this country. Suicide. This is that people who have fallen, they've got no one to pick them up. I want to say to you today, if you're here in this place today, one, you have Jesus. Two, you have a church. With those two things, I'm telling you this now, you can get back up. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jesus a clap off and a praise. We thank you, Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk. We hope you've been blessed, edified and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.